Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. The national anthem. It is played at the beginning of every professional and collegiate sporting event in this country. But why do they pick some of those people to sing it? Here is Sports in Focus with Adam Walski.
I attend roughly 80 professional sporting events every year, so I feel very qualified to talk about the tradition of singing the national anthem before every game. The Star-Spangled Banner is a difficult, rangy song to sing, and performing it in front of 50,000 people can be nerve-wracking. But as someone who has seen thousands of renditions of the song, let me offer some tips to prospective anthem singers. First of all, I don't care how many Grammys you've won or how many platinum albums you've churned out, or if you're 10 years old. Sing the song as it's meant to be sung. Don't put notes in that don't belong. You are not going to improve on the Star-Spangled Banner. And please try not to mess up the words. I cringe at the stadium or arena when I hear some of these people, and I'm sure Francis Scott Key spins in his grave many times a day. Also, step up the pace, some of you. Some performances of the anthem are agonizingly long, as though the singer is trying to milk his or her 15 minutes of fame. It should not take more than 2 minutes to get through the song. Memo to some would-be anthem singers. Maybe the reason the crowd is building to a crescendo as you reach the end might be because they're trying to drown you out. With Sports in Focus, I'm Adam Walski. Back to you, Ed.
Thanks, Adam. Are you into caffeine? We all are. We get it with our morning coffee, our morning tea, that pop or soda, whatever you call it in your part of the country, and we have become obsessed with it over the years. It used to just be in your coffee or tea or your soda, but along the way, caffeine really became an obsession, and an entire industry sprang up to try to make caffeine ingesting more efficient, right? What do we have now? We have these energy drinks, Red Bull, Monster, all of those. We have stay awake pills. We have Jolt gum. Do you remember when Jolt was simply a crazy soda back when you were in college in the 80s? Well, now it's a gum. But the most potent form, the pure powdered kind that's meant for people to mix into their food, is sold in bulk in bags or canisters that can cost as little as $10 a pound. A single teaspoon can be packed with as much caffeine as, get this, 28 cups of regular coffee. The new products have led to an alarming public health development in recent years that was unheard of in many previous decades when people just enjoyed caffeine in normal doses. It's been a rash of thousands of overdoses and reports of addiction and withdrawal because of this obsession. While rare, there are even deaths. This according to CNN. A 14-year-old with a heart condition died after going into cardiac arrest shortly after she drank two caffeinated energy drinks in 24 hours. A 19-year-old Connecticut resident who took a dozen caffeine pills, and a healthy Ohio teen who was a high school wrestler died after consuming powdered coffee. The FDA has been so alarmed that it's mounted an aggressive effort to warn consumers about the risks of caffeine products and to take manufacturers to task for the way they are marketed. In 2012, the regulatory agency began investigating the deaths of 13 people preliminarily linked to the dietary supplement 5-Hour Energy, which contains caffeine, among other ingredients. In 2013, FDA talks with the Wrigley Company prompted the company to stop making its caffeinated gum. In its latest action last week, the agency warned five distributors of pure powdered caffeine that they are selling products that are, quote, dangerous and, quote, present a significant or unreasonable risk of illness or injury to consumers, unquote. The difference between a safe amount and a toxic dose of caffeine in these pure powdered products is very small, the FDA said. Furthermore, safe quantities of these products can be nearly impossible to measure accurately with common kitchen measuring tools. A bitter white alkaloid, caffeine is found naturally in the beans, leaves, and fruit of more than 60 plants, and it is by far the most widely consumed psychoactive agent consumed worldwide. In the U.S., 85% of people are estimated to consume caffeine at least once a day. This number includes kids under 18 who mostly get their caffeine in sodas. Even preschoolers are ingesting it, studies show, and the likely culprit is chocolate milk. When used in excess, caffeine can be deadly. Get this. After students at Northern New Jersey's Ramapo College were hospitalized because of the effects of 4-Loco, which contains caffeine among common energy drink ingredients, and as much alcohol as 4 beers, the college president ordered that it and similar drinks be banned. In recent years, hospitals have reported an uptick in cases of caffeine overdose in emergency rooms, and this year, from January 1st to July 31st, poison centers across the country logged over 1,600 reports involving energy drinks. Nearly two-thirds were in kids 18 and younger. The issue is so much on everyone's mind that in 2013, when the new Bible of American Psychiatry, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, was released, caffeine withdrawal was added as a bona fide mental health disorder, a move that practically guarantees billing codes for insurance company reimbursement. One doctor in Baltimore, Roland Griffiths, a professor of psychiatry and neuroscience at Johns Hopkins, runs a caffeine withdrawal treatment clinic using techniques similar to those for drugs to wean them off the stimulant. Isn't it amazing, though, how easy this stuff is available? I mean, these energy drinks, you know, when you go into a store now, go into any supermarket, go into a Walmart, you actually have a tiny little refrigerated case of just these energy drinks near the registers. Because you need to grab one and go. 5-hour energy, whatever it is. That stuff is right there in the little bottles right there, with along with the other impulse items, the wet ones, the nail clipper, the 9-volt batteries, and those things. I had an interesting run-in with the folks at Red Bull. I went for a job interview to be the public address announcer of the Red Bulls soccer team, which plays right outside New York City. Well, my appointment was at 9:30 in the morning. When I went in at 9:25 in the morning, because your host is the most punctual person you will ever meet, I was greeted, taken into the reception area, and pointed to the refrigerator, which was on the receptionist's desk, and told, "Go ahead, help yourself to a Red Bull." And I looked, and I see other employees walking around with open cans of Red Bull. It's 9:30 in the morning, and you're loading up on these energy drinks. Wow. It's a fine product, but at 9:30 in the morning? I wouldn't be drinking Coca-Cola or Pepsi at 9:30 in the morning. I know, people, but you drink coffee. Yeah, but there is much more caffeine in an energy drink as there is in my morning coffee that I either make at home or get at some coffee shop somewhere. It's amazing how we have become reliant. Is it because we're too busy? Is this the easy way out? And we're setting ourselves up for a lifetime of trouble. You keep drinking all these energy drinks and all this caffeine and overloading on caffeine in ways we have never done before. What is going to happen? What's the long-term effect? What happens when you're 55, 65, 75, and if you're fortunate enough, 85 or 95? Do you become addicted to this stuff? Do you always have to be on all this caffeine to be able to function? It's interesting. They keep making it, and people keep buying it. And you really wonder if it's something where, what's the saying? The horse is out of the barn. Well, if the horse is on caffeine, the horse is 17 miles down the road before the farmer even realized that he left the barn door unlocked. Sometimes, I don't know, is it just maybe some good healthy exercise that can just keep you going? Are we lazy? And I know that's a really stupid argument to make, but I'm here doing a story about caffeine. But seriously, are we lazy to the point where we will just rely on these artificial stimulants to help get us through our day? That they take the place of, I don't know, physical stimulation, mental stimulation, and everything else that comes along with that. It's very, very interesting. But when it comes to exercise, okay, what is cardio? You hear people talking about it. It's some fancy schmancy exercise term going all the way back to the days of Jane Fonda, is it not? Well, here's ACE-certified personal trainer Lisa Ritchie to explain what cardio is in this week's fit in a minute.
Back in the 70s, we called it aerobics, but many men wouldn't be caught dead in an aerobics class. Gym owners got smart and started calling aerobics cardio, short for cardiovascular. Cardio involves large muscle groups such as your legs and helps make your heart and lungs stronger. It also lowers your blood pressure, increases lung function, burns calories, and reduces stress. The word aerobic means requiring oxygen, anything that keeps your heart rate up for 20 minutes or more. For example, swimming, running, skating, bicycling, jogging, or walking, to name a few. The American College of Sports Medicine recommends 3 to 5 days a week for most cardio programs. For weight loss, a more frequent program is recommended 4 to 6 days a week at 65% to 85% of your max heart rate. As far as duration, which refers to the time you've spent exercising, the cardio portion, not including warm-up and cool-down, should vary from 20 to 60 minutes to gain significant cardiorespiratory and fat-burning benefits. As your fitness level improves, you can gradually increase that duration. I'm a certified personal trainer, Lisa Ritchie, and that's your Fit in a Minute. Back to you, Ed.
Thanks, Lisa. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This third-generation driver was popular with fans, but never as successful as his dad and grandfather. He posted 8 wins and earned more than $32 million in his career.
Here's Kyle Petty coming off of turn 3. He takes the checkered flag and wins the Champion Spark Plug 500.
So where is Kyle Petty now? Kyle is an analyst on the Speed Channel and focuses on his annual charity motorcycle ride across America. Money raised goes to Victory Junction, a camp the Petty's created for children with terminal or chronic illnesses. The camp was founded in the memory of Kyle's late son, Adam, who was killed in a racing accident in 2000.
We don't want the camp to be a burden financially for their parents. It's totally free to everybody that comes. So we look for ways to identify new kids and at the same time pay for them.
Kyle's given a new meaning to Victory Lane. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Who's this where from?
Blondie from Sacramento, California.
What you doing?
Having fun and enjoying the ride.
Half tank of petrol will take you all the way to Yosemite National Park. Today on American Biker Minute.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute.
Blondie on a bike is such a great feeling.
Best ride?
You can ride up through the Folsom Hills. You can ride on the river roads. Just anywhere, really.
Special place.
Yosemite? That's a gorgeous ride over there.
Bridal Veil Fall, El Capitan, Granite Cliffs, and Tunnel View.
Relief, relax. Anything I had stress the minute I get on the bike and take off, it's gone. It's just focus, and it's just so peaceful. I just love riding.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.